This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
86 years after Kristallnacht, 96% of European Jews are experiencing anti-Semitism. An Arab affairs correspondent says Europe is at the point of no return. What does that mean? What are its implications for America? And yes, for American Christians. Not American Jews, but American Christians. The Dutch chief rabbi said, wake up. A cancer of Jew hate plagues Europe. Well, that's just a preface to the cancer of Christian hate that is plaguing Europe and America. So I welcome you to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. It's Conversation with Ever-Increasing Conviction, Talk that Transforms, and today will be no exception. I'm so glad that you have joined us. It's Conversation, as always, with Ever-Increasing Conviction, Talk that Transforms. And indeed, hopefully it is Talk that Transforms, and we don't want to have idle talk. We don't want to just fill up time with talk. There are other important things to do. So the talk has to make a difference. It has to make a difference for the kingdom of God. As Jesus said, we're supposed to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We're not supposed to seek first the kingdoms of the United States or of Europe or of any other political agency. We're to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all the other things, Jesus said, would be added unto us. So that's what we try to focus on here on this program, even when we talk about political issues, for instance. So today we're going to refocus our attention concerning the, shall we say, the preview to more intense persecution of Christians in America. We begin by looking not so much at Europe, but looking at some things that are taking place, yes, right here in this country. You might call it, instead of Christian persecution, you might call it political persecution. For instance, a Yale psychiatrist has called it essential for liberals to cut off Trump-voting loved ones during the holidays. You heard that correctly. Yale University chief psychiatry resident Dr. Armanda Calhoun spoke to MSNBC on Friday night about ways liberals who are devastated with Trump's reelection can cope with news, including separating from certain loved ones. So in other words, as God says in his word concerning Christians, coming ye apart and be ye separate, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. Now that's being reversed. And this psychiatrist is saying, look, you liberals, you need to come apart and be separate. You need to come apart from your families. You need to come apart from your loved ones. You need to separate yourself. Sounds like a nation divided against itself, doesn't it? Families divided against themselves. And as Jesus said, a nation, a city, a people, a family divided against themselves cannot stand. So that gives you a hint of where things are going with regard to the good old U.S. of A. So the psychiatrist goes on to say, so if you're going into a situation where you have family members, where you have close friends who you know have voted in ways that are against you, it's completely fine, she said, to not be around those people to tell them why. In other words, you shun your family because of your political arrangements. You shun your family. Now, oftentimes within Christian or within religious circles, we find shunning to be a practice. There are a number of different cults that call themselves Christian that practice shunning in that sense. Now this psychiatrist is saying, look, you should practice shunning in your families. So much for the call for unity. I thought they were calling for joy and they were calling for unity. Apparently not. Only unity if you agree wholeheartedly with their political perceptions. The host of the program, Joy Reid, prompted the expert's answer by discussing how the LGBTQ community and other minority groups have been feeling particularly vulnerable following Trump's election last week. Reid said, yeah, we know that there's been a vast increase since the election, 700% increase in calls from LGBTQ youth to the Trevor Project, which offers phone, online chat, or text to people, 700% increase in calls, texts, and chats compared to recent weeks. So, in other words, what they're saying is, look, if you don't agree with what happened politically, you must divide yourself off from your family. Now, that's not all. The next article tells us churches issue a statement warning against government LGBT indoctrination. This is another quasi-political persecution article. A joint statement signed by multiple church organizations, including the Evangelical Lutheran Church, the Baptist Church of Norway, the Pentecostal movement there, and the Norwegian Roman Catholic Bishops' Council, is warning the Norwegian government against imposing LGBT indoctrination. It is the Joint Christian Declaration on Diversity of Gender and Sexuality that warns of trying to impose the leftist ideologies. So they say, we hold the public authorities and governmental bodies exceeding their mandate and power by attempting to pressure citizens and organizations to adapt to queer theory on gender, sexuality, and marriage. Such activism, they said, on the part of government violates religious freedom and freedom of conscience, as well as the rights of parents. Now, this is coming from a statement adopted by the church groups. The Christian Institute explains that the target of the statement is the government's action plan on gender and sexual diversity. The feds in Norway apparently are scheming to impose regional courses and one-day events on LGBT+. A total of 47 denominations and organizations have joined the protest. The document explains, we stand up for democratic, pluralistic, and open-minded society where there is space for diversity of beliefs characterized by mutual respect. Freedom of expression and conscience, as well as religious freedom, are for us central and essential values. So, what's happening here in Norway is the same thing that's been happening here in this country. And that is government seeking to force, compel Christians to adapt to hyper-liberal, godless governmental edicts to compel Christians and their organizations to conform or else. You can call this political persecution, but in reality, it's Christian persecution because it's Christians that are being pressured. That's the word for tribulation. The Greek word for tribulation is pressure, phlipsis. They're being pressured by governments in Europe and, yes, in the United States to conform or else. From there, we look beyond concerning the matter of persecution as it relates to massive anti-Semitism. We'll be right back.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Again, I welcome you back to Viewpoint. Today, we're taking our focus back to the issue of persecution. And in the second half of the program, we're going to focus particularly on anti-Semitism as the precursor to more massive Christian persecution in the West. So, before we get there, we want to go to Africa. A pure genocide, Christians slaughtered in Nigeria and the Great Press Cover-Up. That's the article from Raymond Ibrahim in the virginiachristian.org. He is from the Gatestone Institute. The pure genocide of Christians in Nigeria, as it has been characterized by several international observers, is reaching unprecedented levels, according to two separate reports. Countering the myth of religious indifference in Nigerian terror, a comprehensive 136-page report published by the Observatory for Religious Freedom in Africa back in August found that Muslim militants slaughtered 16,769 Christians in just 4 years between 2019 and 2023. That comes out to 4,192 Christians killed on average per year, or one Christian murdered for his or her faith every 2 hours. Let that one sink in. One Christian murdered for his or her faith every 2 hours in Nigeria. More than half of these killings were committed by radicalized Muslim Fulani herdsmen, who over the last decade have become greater persecutors of Christians than more internationally recognized terror groups. So, this is something that is becoming a very, very big deal. A very big deal indeed. Now, imagine yourself in Nigeria. Nigeria, I believe, has the largest population in Africa. It's divided. It's divided between Christian and Muslim. But the Muslims aren't having it. They're seeking to eradicate Christianity and make Nigeria 100% Muslim. The same thing is happening in India. President Modi there in India has decreed India to be a Hindu nation. There's no sense of religious freedom there. No sense of religious pluralism there. No, he decrees that India shall be a Hindu nation. Well, by definition then, or implication at least, that gave the Hindus in India, the largest population in the world, gave them carte blanche to persecute Christians. And indeed, the persecution of Christians in India has increased dramatically. Dramatically. So you can begin to see the pattern. India, Africa, China, in so many places in the world. We don't have time to go into all the difficult places we know of. North Korea, that's one of the most horrendous spots. But Nigeria has virtually taken, is in the top four now. Who would have ever believed that? But it is true. So just as people and pastors are telling us that Africa is becoming the largest Christian nation, our largest Christian continent, well, maybe or maybe not. And whatever advances are being made there are being fought dramatically by Islam. We're not going to have it. The same thing has happened in Egypt. The Coptic Christians have been driven out of Egypt in huge numbers. In Syria, the Christians have been virtually eradicated from Syria. That is the place where Christians were first called Christians. You'll read it in the book of Acts. And so, interesting, Iraq was once a stronghold of Christians, but now the Christians have virtually been driven out. And we have actually been co-participants in that by withdrawing from Iraq in the way that left things completely open for the Taliban to come over and completely eradicate Christianity in Iraq. This is the trajectory of our world. This is where we are. The violence in Africa and Nigeria has reached the point that many traumatized Christian children sleep in trees as they try to avoid being butchered during the night when the Fulani are most prone to attack. One parent said, "My children, each time they hear anything, they panic or go into hiding because it triggers the trauma. The terror of the attacks hasn't stopped, rather it has increased." Now here we have college students in the United States that are having to go to safe spots, safe houses or rooms, and play with origami and other little games and so on to try to be at peace with themselves just because they didn't get their position in an election. In Nigeria, it's life and death. It's life and death if you claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ. So as Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Why do you think you should be different than your Lord? So I was sharing some of this today as I was interviewed on a major podcast across the country for an hour. And I think it almost came as a bit of a shock to the podcaster. On the other hand, she was very much affirmative of what was being said. She said, "We need to hear more of this. We need to be informed so that we can be prepared." And of course, friends, that's the reason why I wrote the book, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times. I didn't write this book to scare people. God didn't inspire me to write this book to scare people who profess to be the followers of Jesus Christ, but rather to warn them, to woo them, and to prepare because they're not prepared. So it was, I believe this was a gesture, a divine gesture to professing Christians in this country and in the Western world of God's mercy. His mercy, because he knows we're not prepared. And he knows what's coming. He's told us in his word what was coming. Jesus told us. The Apostle Paul told us. The Apostle Peter told us. The Apostle James told us. And the Apostle John told us. All of those disciples in their epistles and so on warned us of what was coming. But we don't get it. You don't hear it talked about in our churches. It's all about making people feel nice and lovey-dovey and everything's wonderful and everything's cool. Just get your feelings salved and everything will be fine. No, everything will not be fine. So, it's not about feelings, my friend. It's about our faith. That's the issue. It's not about our feelings. It's about our faith. Feelings are very deceptive. They deceive us. And they lead us to embrace what we want to hear. Not what we ought to hear, but what we want to hear. Now, we need to change our want-tos. We really do. We need to change our want-tos. Moms and dads in the households need to change their want-tos. We need to take seriously what God has said, what Jesus told us about was coming, so that we would be prepared. And so, the book, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times. It should be a book of great encouragement. That's the way my wife looks at it. She's been reading it, and she doesn't like to hear a lot of stuff on the news, but she says, "Man, Chuck, this book is so, not only is it really easy to read, but it's so encouraging, it's strengthening. It's giving us hope. It's giving us preparation." Well, thank you, my dear wife, for those comments. And when she says something like that, I want to pass it along to you because she's actually speaking it from her heart. So the book is a $25 book. It's on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. You can give us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $6 for postage and handling. You know, we're just back from our trip to Massachusetts and Connecticut. We spoke up there at the breakfast for our listeners a week ago. And interestingly, we had people coming not only from around all of Massachusetts, but from Connecticut and from New Hampshire and from Vermont. One lady left her home in Vermont at 4:30 in the morning so that she could be at the breakfast in Massachusetts at at 8 a.m. So we had a lot of people who were very much desirous of hearing more so that they could get a hold of the materials, we could talk together, they could be embraced by others of similar belief and convictions. And so it was a very, very encouraging time. And then the next day on a Sunday evening, I spoke by invitation to a large Russian-Ukrainian church. It's, I think, the eighth or ninth time that they've asked me to speak there. And what we found fascinating is that many of them had no clue as to what's really happening. No clue. And so it was eye-opening. It was heart-opening. And it gave us an opportunity to unite us more closely in faith. Now, here they have come. The older Ukrainian and Russian folk have come and escaped the old Soviet Union for religious freedom, and so that they could have peace, they could raise their families without government intervention. And now they find that in the United States of America, all that is under threat now. That's what they're seeing, and they're very concerned about it. They're concerned about their kids. They're concerned about their kids being absorbed into a godless American culture. And so we have the opportunity to come and encourage and declare God's truth to a people who, in some respects, are a bit isolated from the rest of American society. They've come over and, you know, they have a Ukrainian and a Russian church. In fact, there are several of them there. And next time we go up there, we'll probably be speaking at two or three Russian-Ukrainian churches. So it's a wonderful privilege that God has given us to be able to do those things. What's fascinating is it's almost impossible for us to get into traditional American evangelical churches. Do you know that? Why do you think that would be? It's because they just don't want to hear it. They're not serious enough about life. They're not serious enough about their faith. They're so inculcated with American prosperity and business as usual that they just want to be told what they want to hear. And it's just like the Apostle Paul said, having itching ears, they're getting their itching ears scratched by pastors and parachurch leaders that are intent on scratching the itching ears in order to keep the people in their congregations and keep the money flowing. It's an unfortunate thing. So let me ask you a question then. If that is the case, then how in the world are such people going to be prepared when real persecution spreads in this country, which it is doing? How is that going to happen? How are Christians in Europe going to handle this? Well, we get a bit of an idea when we look at what's happening with regard to anti-Semitism. So we want to focus on that in significant ways for the balance of the program here today. Here is an interesting article coming from the Jerusalem Post yesterday. A surge in Aliyah, that's returning to Israel. It means to go up. A surge in Aliyah, Jews worldwide see Israel as their future despite challenges and despite the war. Why are they doing that? Two reasons. Number one, massive anti-Semitism growing throughout Europe and the world, including the U.S. Secondly, terrifying economic problems that are driving them to leave the West. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, SaveUS.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived, Save America Ministries website at SaveUS.org.
The Shay Felber, who is heading up the Jewish agency there in Israel, was commenting upon the rising demand for Aliyah as a global, amid the global crisis of anti-Semitism. So I want to share a few more of his comments with you to put this in perspective. This is not something that's localized. This is something that is becoming global. He says, this is a unique moment for Aliyah, again, which means to go up, to return to Israel, to return to Jerusalem, marked by a strong and growing desire among Jews worldwide to move to Israel. Now, God said this was going to happen. He said that through the prophets. Jeremiah, for instance, talked about this, and he said that God was going to send, if it need be, hunters and fishers, whatever was going to take to bring the Jewish people back, to fulfill God's covenant to bring them back. Not because they were so wonderful, not because they were so obedient, not because they were so godly, but because God himself had spoken and he was going to keep his word, regardless of whether they kept their word. Because God is not a man that he should lie. So, since the beginning of the war, October 7th, 2023, he said, we have seen a rise in Aliyah demand from all over the world. Highlighting the global scope of this trend, he noted an unprecedented increase in interest, especially from, now listen to this, especially from Western Europe, and particularly from France. I thought France was supposed to be such a free, freedom-loving people. Religious freedom and all of that. No, not really. They're experiencing the result of the French Revolution back in the late 1700s. It was all against religion. It was against Christianity. France is not what many people think it is. It's not this once great freedom-loving, lovey-dovey group of people, liberty, equality, and fraternity. Never came to be. That's why Alexis de Tocqueville came over here in 1830, a French philosopher, to try to figure out what it was that made America great that wasn't happening in France, even though we both had revolutions at about the same time. France's revolution went exactly the opposite direction of America's revolution. France was against authority. It was against Christianity. America's was supported by and driven by the Christian faith. So we're seeing all of this borne out now in technicolor, so to speak, high definition, as from France, where Aliyah applications have surged over 400% in just the last year. The Shay Felber, the head of the director of the Aliyah Absorption Unit and deputy director general of the Jewish Agency there in Israel, explained that this wave of interest extends to communities, listen to this, in the UK, the United States, and other Western countries. Notice he mentioned the UK, our mother country, and the United States. He included the United States. That's where you and I live, friends, the majority of those who listen to this program. Now, in Europe, in this last week, we know that a major event took place. It took place in Amsterdam, Holland. It took place in Amsterdam, 86 years after Kristallnacht there in Germany. 96% of European Jews experience anti-Semitism. This came from Israel National News today, or yesterday. Since October 7th, more than 96% of Jews in Europe report that they encounter anti-Semitism daily. A 400% increase in anti-Semitism in Europe following the outbreak of the war between Israel and Hamas. The most alarming developments were observed in Great Britain, our mother country that was supposedly birthed in Christianity, France, and Germany. Germany is where Martin Luther came from, friends. You know, the Protestant Reformation? These are countries with relatively large Jewish communities, and they are experiencing radical anti-Semitism. Why? What is going on? Well, the Dutch chief rabbi issued a call, a wake up. He said, there's a cancer of Jew hate that's plaguing Europe. That Dutch European leaders need to take anti-Semitism more seriously following the Amsterdam pogrom. Well, what happened? Well, there was a soccer game. Israel was not even playing in the soccer game, as I understand, but there were Jewish people there. And all of a sudden, by plan, it was orchestrated. Muslim people attacked the Jewish people mercilessly. The chief rabbi there said, we're shocked but not surprised at the disgusting scenes that we saw in the Dutch capital. This was not hooliganism. This was outright planned, brutal anti-Semitism. All pervading Jew hatred, running like a cancer through the entire European continent. Friends, that's where we came from. That's where an awful lot of Americans came from. And if it can happen there, guess where it's coming next? Well, it's already here, isn't it? Isn't that what we saw at Harvard and Yale and Columbia and so many other of the major so-called Ivy League schools and so on? Massive anti-Semitism. Our young people have bought into that spirit. Jew hatred. Now, where is that going? Well, here's one view. An Arab affairs correspondent said Europe is at the point of no return. The point of no return. He commented on the pogrom in Amsterdam and in the increasing trend of Islamization in Europe. He said, I see it differently than the Europeans because they don't recognize a religious conflict. They see a clash of fans based on the conflict of Gaza. They think it all political. He said, we saw the iron fist of Islam on the street. And he's pessimistic about the possibility that European countries will change. He said, Europe, in my opinion, is at the point of no return. Muslim Brotherhood is establishing a state within a state in France alone. There are Sharia laws in the suburbs of Paris. France has gone down the drain, he said. Democracy doesn't let you see the struggle. Ah, you see, therein lies a lot of the problem with the cries for democracy, democracy, democracy. It blinds you to the reality of what's actually taking place and the motivation. Europe is rampant with the incidents of women who can't walk in certain areas, a sense of insecurity, of theft and crimes, and the desecration of state symbols. That's an Arab commentator, my friends. So, Sarah Moskowitz writes this piece for the Jerusalem Post. This is what globalization of the Intifada looks like. Global leaders react to Amsterdam pogrom. Notice the headline, globalizing the Intifada, globalizing the pogrom, globalizing the hatred of Israel, globalizing anti-Semitism. And friends, I want to remind you, you may recall that about 6 months ago, I had Tamar Yonah, the English-speaking voice of Orthodox Israel, from her radio program, joining us on our program. She's joined us a number of times, and we were talking about anti-Semitism, and here's what she said. She said, Chuck, it's happening to the Saturday people first, and soon it will be happening to the Sunday people. That was her shorthand form of saying it's soon going to be happening to Christians in the same way. And it is. That's why I wrote the book, friends. I believe this is the reason why God prompted me to write this book. I don't make any money writing books. They're all handwritten, friends. Every book, all of my 11 books have been handwritten. It's a labor of love to prepare the people. We make absolutely no money selling these books. Whatever money comes through goes back immediately into preparing what God would have us write next. No money, no income from it. That may come as a shock to you, but it's true. Just as I receive no income from doing this program now for over 30 years. This is a labor of love. It's a calling. To prepare. It's an act of God's mercy, an extension of his hand of grace to us, his enabling power, urging us, moving us forward to understand what is taking place and to be prepared. Get your copy of the book, friends. You won't be disappointed. When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times, $25 on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA or write to us at Save America Ministries at $6 for postage and handling. We'll get the book in your hands. Read it slowly, absorb it, and you won't be disappointed. We'll be back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
It was a dreadful night, said Prime Minister Dick Schoof from the Netherlands. A terrible night. The attacks on Israel's soccer fans in Amsterdam have been a horrendous sign of increasing anti-Semitism in the Netherlands. He said, I feel ashamed about what happened in the Netherlands. He spoke down on the sidelines of a summit of European Union leaders in Budapest. He said it's been a dreadful night. Well, that's what happens with persecution. You see, anti-Semitism is persecution of Jews. Anti-Semitism is persecution of Jews. It's just another name for persecution. But then, instead of using the word anti-Christian, we use the word persecution of Christians. But it really is anti-Christian. It's against Christians. It's against Christianity. It's against Christ. And so we saw an initial example of that a week ago when a couple of guys in a Kamala Harris rally lifted up a sign that said, Jesus is King. Then others said, Jesus is Lord. So what was her response? She laughed at them in a mocking kind of a way and then said, you're in the wrong rally. You don't belong here. You belong down there at the other one. What was she saying? She was saying the concept of Jesus being King or Jesus being Lord was not acceptable in the Democrat Party. It was not acceptable in her campaign for the presidency. What would you call that? That's a form of persecution, friends. It's a rejection of Christ for an entire people group. What people group? The Democrat Party, the blue states. What she did was openly reject Christ and all who stand with and for him, which Hillary Clinton called a basket of deplorables. Those were statements of preliminary persecution of Christians, people who would stand for the fear of the Lord in the context of American life. Now let's see what happened in Israel. From the Russian Times came this headline, Israel must be expelled from the UN. Are you listening? Now what is the UN? The UN is the Organization of Nations in the World. As I recall, it's 196 nations that are members of the UN. 196 nations. So Iran's foreign ministry called for Israel to be removed from the United Nations on Sunday. Also, they urged the international community to take practical and effective measures against the Zionist regime, including imposing an arms embargo, expelling the regime from the United Nations. Earlier this month, Malaysia prepared a draft resolution for the United Nations General Assembly calling for the removal of Israel from the international organization. In October, West Jerusalem declared UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres persona non grata, accusing him of failing to unequivocally condemn a previous Iranian missile attack on the Jewish state. But more than 100 UN member states have since signed a letter denouncing Israel's decision regarding Guterres. What is happening here? Let me tell you. The world is coming against Israel. Openly, notoriously, egregiously, straight arming Israel as having no place among the nations of the earth, no place in the UN. You are persona non grata in the United Nations, among the nations of the world. Now let's put that in perspective from a biblical perspective. Do you recall back in Numbers chapter 23, 24, somewhere there, where the Moabite king, Balak, was scared to death about Israel coming into the promised land from Egypt. Israel had already defeated some of the other countries that refused to assist them in giving them space to peacefully make their journey from Egypt to the promised land, Canaan. And so the king of Moab was desperate. So he hired a prophet, a known prophet by the name of Balaam, or Balaam, as they say in Israel. And he hired him to come and bless Moab and curse Israel. Now, you need to read that story because it's very significant. It's significant for a variety of reasons. One of those reasons is because Balaam was seduced by proposals, offers being made by the king of Balak and his deputies to try to get Balaam to curse Israel and bless Moab. So each time Balaam said, well, let me talk to the Lord about it. Let me pray to the Lord about it. See what he has to say. Well, he already knew what God had to say about it. The first time he talked to the Lord, God told him. But each time the offers were upped, the ante was upped to try to seduce this prophet to curse Israel and bless Moab. Finally, after five times, and God having to crush Balaam's foot by a donkey against a rock wall, and then have the donkey actually speak to him, it got Balaam's attention, finally. What does it take to get our attention, by the way? Does it take having our foot crushed against a wall? Do we have to be spoken to by the mouth of a donkey? Just asking. It seems that we're not listening. It seems that the church hasn't been listening for 50 years, in spite of all the cries for revival, prayers going up, but we haven't been willing to listen to God's viewpoint concerning those prayers. Because, as A.W. Tozer said, prayer is no substitute for obedience. And that's what we didn't want to do. We wanted to keep pointing the finger at the liberals, the abortionists, the homosexuals, Slick Willie in the White House, Barack Obama, whatever. And God is saying, no, it's my people. It's my people that I'm concerned about. You're not ready. You're not ready for the second coming. You're not ready for anything. You've been seduced to indolence. And so, finally, Balaam acknowledged that he had heard from God, and here was the result. He declared that Israel would not be reckoned among the nations. You can read about it. Read it right there. Israel will not be reckoned among the nations. So, in spite of the fact that Israel wants to be reckoned among the nations, Israel is increasing, be rejected by the nations, just as God said it would be. God said, come ye apart and be ye separate, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. Oh, yes, I'm quoting the Apostle Peter. Oh, and the Apostle Paul. Well, where did they get the message from? They got it from the Old Testament. That has been God's message to his people from the beginning. Come ye apart and be ye separate, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be sons, my sons and daughters. That's what anti-Semitism is forcing upon Israel. And that's what persecution is going to increasingly force upon the church. Because we still don't get the message. The church wants to be just like the world. That's what the whole church growth movement and then the secret sensitive movement was all about. Conforming to the ways of the world to try to win the world. But what happened was the world has been winning the church. So much so that for the past 8 years, George Barna tells us that among professing Christian young people, 20%, only 20% of them believe that Jesus Christ is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. They've been seduced, completely seduced, away from the faith once delivered to the saints. 80% of progressing Christian young people are not really Christians because they do not believe the most essential fundamental element of what it means to be a Christian, acknowledging that Jesus Christ is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. So what are those people going to do? What are those young people going to do as persecution rises against Christians? What are they going, you know what persecution is? It's actually pressure. Do you know what the Bible translates the word pressure to be? Tribulation, testing, trials, persecution, pressure. And we're not prepared. We're radically unprepared. So just now as the political forces are seeking to expel Israel from the UN, from the Association of Nations, even so, friends, the same pressures are coming against professing Christians throughout Europe, throughout the world, and increasingly in America. Initially, it's coming under color of law in America, trying to keep people, destroy people's businesses, trying to compel them to follow what have been called political issues such as abortion, transgenderism, homosexuality, and so on, trying to force Christians and their organizations to embrace those things if you're going to be part of legitimate American society. But as the pressure increases, it's going to become so great, friends, particularly when the global government is established, as soon as the nations of the world finally convert to digital, which Bill Gates is working on and encouraging them to do. Israel's already in the process of converting to digital. When that happens, it will give the nations of the earth through an increasing one world government to have control over whether you will eat or not, whether you will be able to receive funds in your digital account or not. And that's called the mark of the beast. Revelation 13 and 14. So that's the trajectory that is taking place. So, would you not think that this would be the ideal time to prepare in the Western world? The very area of the world, the resurrecting Roman Empire of Daniel, the book of Daniel, it's happening right in front of our eyes. And we're not prepared. But you need to be prepared, and God knows that. And in his mercy, I believe he inspired me to write this book, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times. It's God's love letter to you. Moms, dads, pastors, leaders in our churches, $25 will put it in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. You're writing a check, add $6 for postage and handling. And seriously consider becoming a partner, friends. The pressure is upping here. The ante is upping. We need the resources to be able to get the message out more rapidly and more broadly. God bless and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.